So welcome back. Brother Jackson here with you again. So we did Revelations chapter 7. We finished that, and chapter 7 was the conclusion of the sixth seal. We know Messiah was shown to, the Lamb was shown, was received the scroll with the seven seals, and as he opened them, things were revealed to John. John saw events happening, and in the sixth seal, a lot happened. In the sixth seal, it was 144,000. He saw, actually, before he saw the 144,000, he from verse 12 of verse 6, that's how far the sixth seal goes. The sixth seal is full of things. It gave John a brief synopsis of what the end of age would be like from verses 12 of verse 6 through 17. He saw a great earthquake. The sun became as black as sackcloth. He saw the stars of the sky fell to earth, and so on. He saw this, and then now some try to say that this was fulfilled in 1833, where there was this heavy meteor shower. It's regretful, but that meteor shower that happened in 1833 does not match what it says here in Revelations chapter 6. It just doesn't. That's not sound. That's not in spirit and in truth. It doesn't match that at all. I read about it. I read all the facts I could to see. It was just a heavy Leonid day, as it's called, meteor shower. Many people back then in 1833, they were terrified. There was hardly any damage from what I've read. I don't doubt there was possibly some damage, but I couldn't read anything about damage being done. Fell to the earth as the fig trees is shaken by a gale. The sky didn't vanish like a scroll. All of this is one thing. What they've done with this meteor shower in 1833, they've dissected the scripture and took one line, which is in verse 13 of chapter 6, to say, oh, this was the fulfillment. But no, we have to read the whole fulfillment. We have to see the whole context of these stars falling. It's part of a larger set of events that was devastating. There was nothing that at all devastating about the 1833 meteor shower. Verse 12 of chapter 6 says, and he opened the sixth seal, and I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as the fig trees sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful were, and everyone slave and free, hid themselves in the caves. This did not happen. Okay, so the 1833 meteor shower was not a fulfillment of this scripture. Not at all. The people back then were, by their superstitious misunderstanding of scripture, believed a lot of things and proclaimed a lot of things, as they did. Many people back then used to proclaim Messiah was going to come, and he didn't come, as they said. So that's, don't fall for that. Read the entire context, and you will see, no, this is not the 1833 meteor shower. There were showers like that before. There were showers like that afterwards. And it's an event that usually happens in the month of November. The one in 1833 happened to be heavier than usual, but it was just a regular phenomenon established by Elohim to occur at its appointed time. This is no end of age event at all. So let's continue. I just wanted to say that because I failed to say that the last time I talked about this. So then the sixth seal concludes in showing the 144,000 Israelites being selected, and then as his servants, and then countless multitude from all nations and all tongues and all peoples being also selected. All these were revealed through the sixth seal. So now we're at the seventh seal in chapter 8. Chapter 8 says, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before Elohim, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before Elohim from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Okay, let's stop briefly and review this before we go to verse 6. So the Lamb opened the seventh seal, which is the last seal. And as a result, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. I'm not going to try to say beyond this. If, as I read further on in the future, if I get insight as to what this half an hour is, I will share it. If I find any, I will. But right now, I don't have any insight. I searched a lot of searching of what the apostolic fathers said about this. I couldn't find anything yet. So I apologize for that. So I'm going to just say what it says here. So when he opened the seventh seal, John said that there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. It says the eternal, as the psalm says, the eternal is in his holy temple. Let the earth, let all keep silence before him, the psalmist says. So in verse 2, it says, then I saw seven angels. No, actually, not seven. He says, then I saw the seven angels who stand before Elohim, and seven trumpets were given to them. What seven angels? The seven angels that were mentioned before in chapter 4. Again, we cannot break the scriptures. And this is why I say these seven angels are exactly the angels spoken of by the prophet Enoch. Because when he spoke of the throne of Elohim, he described seven angels, which I had mentioned their names several weeks ago. And the people in John's time would have known this. And so that's why their names are not mentioned, but these are seven angels. The seven spirits that were before Elohim are those where it says these are the seven spirits of Elohim. In chapter 4, verse 5, it says, around the throne were 24 elders. I'm reading back in chapter 4 for context. It's around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of Elohim. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. Again, look through every time there is a description of Elohim seated on his throne in Isaiah, Ezekiel. You will see it's similar. You will, especially the sea of glass. You will always, it's like, it's always there. It's always mentioned like the sea of glass before his throne. But the seven spirits, the seven torches of flames of fire, we're told what it is. We're given the interpretation of what they are. We're not to give a third or second interpretation to this, because it tells us the seven torches of fire, which before the throne are seven torches of fire, which are, not represents, which are the seven spirits of Elohim. Not seven spirits in the sense of the way Elohim has his Holy Spirit, and he has, so there are seven. No. These are created beings. The Holy Spirit is of Elohim and proceeds directly from Elohim, just as his son proceeded directly from him. So, but these angels are created beings. These are the seven archangels. And here, back in chapter 8, it tells us, then I saw the seven angel who stand before Elohim. These are the same seven spirits referred to in chapter 4. They are the seven angels. And to them were given seven trumpets. Let me say a little bit about the trumpets here. So with this seven seal, so verses 1 through 5, Elohim answers the prayers of his saints for justice by assigning seven angels with seven trumpets to carry out his will to do what? To chastise mankind, the rest of mankind, to what? Destroy them? No. Unto repentance, as will be shown in Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, when we get there. He does so by directing the seven angels with seven trumpets to punish them by blowing their trumpets to bring about a series of increasingly fearful calamities. Now, are they literally blowing trumpets? No, remember, it's a vision. But the vision that he is seeing when the angels do these things that he sees in the vision, it is to accomplish that. It is to bring chastisement on mankind. That's the purpose. Remember, prior to this, in chapter 7, we were told, the angels were told to not hurt anything until the servants were sealed. 144,000 servants of Israelites and a countless multitude of others from every tribe, nation, and tongue. Once they are sealed, once they are protected, now the world was set to be chastised. So, Simba, so as with the seals, let's first consider the meaning of the word trumpet as found in the book of Revelations. The Greek word for trumpet or trump is salpinx. Salpinx. And you'll find it if you're interested in Strong Concordance 4536. This word means quavering or reverberation, a trumpet or trump, sounding a trumpet. That's the definition of that. So these trumpets will have far-reaching effects. It's not something, it will start kind of relatively small. The effects of the age of these angels will start relatively mild, but they will become increasingly harsh, like a trumpet blast. Like when you hear the trumpet blast, it kind of starts soft a little bit, then it resounds. That's how the effect of what the angels work, the effect it will have on planet Earth, over on mankind. Unlike the seven bowls, which is very different. The seven bowls, as we'll see, I'm skipping ahead, the seven bowls after the seventh trumpet, they're brief, but they're devastating, and they're not intending to bring people to repentance, but to destroy. But the trumpets is a wake-up call to repentance on planet Earth. What I don't want to say is this future, or is it something that has happened, or is it something that is happening? I will not try to divulge this today because I am not sure about that. But what I will go through is go through each one of these trumpets and summarize what the scripture says about them. I'm not going to try to say if this has happened or has not happened. I want to be that clear. Until I have that knowledge, I will not make up anything. Okay, I want to be true to everyone and to myself, and especially to Elohim. So verse 5 says, then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. So this is in preparation for the angels to sound. So the first trumpet. It says in verse 7, the first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth burnt up, and a third of the fig trees were bent up, and all green grass was burnt up. Oh, one more thing I can say. I believe that these seven trumpets have already happened, and I believe they believe it started to happen when the barbaric tribes began to attack Rome. I don't have all their names, but you could look them up. First set of five, and then two other, they're followed by two other attacks from barbaric tribes upon the Roman Empire. And some claim that that's what these trumpets represent. I'm not going to dispute that. I don't necessarily agree, but I'm not going to dispute that. Again, what I'm going to try to do is to just say, summarize what the book of Revelation says. And I'm trusting in time Elohim will make these things make sense, more sense to us. So the first trumpet in Revelation 8 verse 7 describes how a third of earth's trees and grass will be destroyed by hail and fire. You may, and I have seen how small hail can cut up tree leaves and small branches in a matter of minutes. Like, I remember there was once I saw this, we had this hail. And when I went outside, there were neatly cut pieces of leaves all over the floor, all over the yard, all over the sidewalk. You would think someone took a knife and literally cut them into little, like, triangular shapes. I was just amazed. They were all approximately cut to the same size by these hail. And the hail wasn't very big. The hail was about maybe half the diameter of a marble, of a large, you know, of a marble, half an inch, or less. And I was just amazed to see how the leaves were cut by the hail. So when I see here that it says how verse 7 describes how a third of earth's trees and grass will be destroyed, will in context of John's time, in John's time it was futuristic, will be destroyed by hail and fire. So that's what the first trumpet does. And it's a third of earth's trees and grass. And again, some interpret this to mean the attack of barbarian hordes upon the Roman Empire, so-called Holy Roman Empire. Trumpet 2, that's verse 8. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures of the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So, by trumpet 2, shows how a third of marine life, the seas, sea life, and ships will be destroyed by a fiery mountain-like structure to fall in it. It's possibly a devastating volcanic eruption. For instance, Mauna Loa, that's in Hawaii, is the world's largest active volcano. It projects 13,667 feet above sea level, its top being over 30,000 feet above the deep ocean floor. So that's from the floor to the top, it's over 30,000 feet high. From its base below sea level to its summit, Mauna Loa is taller than Mount Everest. So now lava and ash from volcanoes increases acidity in water, which makes it poisonous to life. You can find this and more information on the effects of volcanic eruptions on just about by doing research. But the acid from the lava just devastates the whatever life that's in it. So where it says that a third of the ocean was devastated by this huge fiery mountain-like structure that fell into the sea. So it makes me think it could have been a volcanic situation. I know many years ago, Judgments of Messiah, Pompeii was destroyed by volcanic. And there were entire cities that, after the true ministers of Elohim preached, they were mistreated, rejected. And some of these places, literally, shortly after, were sunk into the ocean. Entire lands were sunk into the ocean. I encourage you to look into the mighty history of the congregation of Elohim and the works of Messiah that he did on behalf of his people when they were persecuted. It's amazing stuff. Let's look at trumpet 3. In trumpet 3, that's verse 10 of chapter 8, the third angel blew his trumpet and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. Okay, so this is the first mention of death here through the effects of these trumpets. Notice how I said from before. That's why the symbolism of the trumpet is used. It starts off a little mild, but it's going to get more severe. It gets more severe as people are being were being stubborn. It becomes more severe. So, trumpet three, a third of the spring waters will become poisonous by an object called wormwood. And wormwood means literally bitterness. Bitterness. And we think of bitter like, a bitter taste. But in scripture, when it means bitter, bitter is often something meaning poisonous, harmful, life-threatening. Like we saw in Moses when they were coming out of the, when they started their journeys, they came across this water and the water was bitter because it was poisonous. But Elohim told Moses to throw this wood in there and the waters were healed and it became drinkable. So wormwood means bitterness. So it's something that's going to affect the drinking water and it becomes poisonous. That's the third trumpet. And people die. You see how it's getting worse? It's reverberating like a sound of a trumpet blast. Are they listening to the call? Let's look at the fourth trumpet. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. So, with this fourth trumpet, it says a third of the light from the sun, moon, and stars will be darkened night and day. Although the Almighty can reduce light any way he chooses, blockage of light does occur with volcanic ash, an impact from large objects from space, from the sky. During this, an angel will announce that three more woes will follow. So when we think of this, it's getting worse. So we have the trees and the plants cut down by a third. So there's the marine water polluted somehow. The creatures died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the drinking water became bitter, part of it. Not all of it, a third of it. So there was some drinkable. And then finally, the light was diminished by a third. So, and then in verse 13, we read, then I looked and heard an eagle. I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Four has happened, and now the world is being warned by this flying creature represented by an eagle, telling them there are three more woes, three more troubles coming, he says, three more. So we will stop here because we're out of time. Whether or not this has happened already or futuristic, what we must learn from this is that Elohim sends warnings to everyone. He never does anything without first speaking without warning them through his prophets. He does nothing without telling his prophets, he says. And his prophets were not just in Israel. His prophets were all over the world, even before Messiah came. He didn't only have Jewish Israelite prophets. He had prophets all over because he did things all over the world. How else would he have warned the other nations? when he would do something. He didn't always send Jonah, you know, a prophet like Jonah. No, he had prophets in other places too. Righteous men through whom he warned every nation about what he intended to do. So today we must heed the warning. The warning has gone out for centuries since Elohim put man, for ages since Elohim created man. His servants, Noah, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the way down through the New Testament scriptures, all the way till today. We're told that when there is sin among any nation, that there will be problems. And so we should never be surprised as to what's going on in the world and be amazed. Why is this happening in the United States? Why? It is because this nation has blasphemed against the Creator. It promotes so much evil. Yes, it has done some good. It has done some material good, humanitarian good, but it's doing a lot of evil. It promotes a lot of evil, spreading it from here all over the world, and others that are doing the same. So on account of these evils being done, we can be sure that Elohim is sending his judgments and will continue to do so until the world repents. And if the world does not repent, if that nation, city, family, or individual does not repent, it will pay the consequences. Okay, that's just how it is. Because the kingdom of Elohim is a real kingdom. The rulership of Messiah sitting on his throne is true. It's not just something that's stuck to the Bible and the kingdom only exists in the Bible. No, the kingdom existed long before the Bible existed. And we have to understand, we need to be praying for thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we must be instruments. Like those believers when they were scattered on account of the persecution to proclaim the word. Let's proclaim the word. Let's be like these angels telling the world to repent in every way we can. We can try to be nice and soft and all we want to be. Elohim's not going to change. He will do what he will do. Okay, so we need to function like him. And the best thing that we could do is live right. Pray every day for the forgiveness of our sins. And pray that we can have the courage to do the job. Does it mean we need to preach, stand in the corner? If we can, yes. If you can't, it's okay. But maybe you could hand out a flyer. Maybe you could send someone a link to our website. Maybe you could invite someone to Sabbath service. Maybe you could just sit one-on-one and speak to someone. Be a light. Let's be a light. So that when the chastisement comes, we will find grace to escape the devastation. Thank you, brethren, for listening as we stop here with chapter 13. Of verse 13 of Revelations chapter 8.